So I'm chatting now with Amy and Henry, who are students here at the university, but are also here to talk about the Lincoln Company, which people can get involved with. We're going to start, though, with like a general chat about the arts and what got you into it.
So I'll go first. So I did bits of arts at the school. And then when I was choosing university, I originally chose to do history and English. And then I dropped the English and dropped the history. So dropped out and then decided that I actually really wanted to do drama. So then I signed up to the University of Lincoln, came here on open days, really enjoyed it. Thought the staff here were all amazing and friendly, and which they were. And then then I applied to do my master's after I finished my undergrad in creative writing, and here I am.
Yeah, it's similar for me. I had always been in the arts somehow through studying. I had gone from set design, a little bit of tech, a little bit of production, but performance was always what it had centered around. So then I found the course here, and it was, you know, it was exactly what I wanted, yet still gave me all that stuff in the background that I didn't want to stray away from. Eventually, I just want to work within the theatre industry. I'm not really that picky.
Yeah, I think, especially since I was a student doing the drama degree here, there's so much choice for you lot now. Like, you can do a technical theatre specific route. We had those options as modules, but you can kind of hone it a bit more now, which is great. What is the area that, if you had the choice, you would go into?
Oh, that is tricky.
Yeah, because I honestly love every single one, which is a really...
If you'd asked me this last year, yeah, as I finished my undergrad, I would have said producing. Because I did that part of the Lincoln Company, and I did the Arts and Cultural Industries module and absolutely fell in love with it. However, I'm now doing a creative writing master's, so that changes things, because now I'm starting to experiment with visual poetry, object poetry, so I'm looking more to be more of an installation artist at the moment, and experimenting in that, and I think once I leave university, I'm going to carry on with that in my spare time.
Okay, and
I'm still going to have to go with performing, theatre making,
yeah. I think I was very much performer until sort of third year when we did the directing module. And I was like, right, okay, I've actually really taken to this. This is for me. So after uni, up to sort of the pandemic time, I was doing directing and things like that. And I really enjoyed it. But it's nice every now and again. Sometimes at the uni, I get like media students ask if I'll do like voiceovers for their radio dramas, and it's nice to step up sometimes, you know, get back into the performing. But I'm very much a behind the scenes person rather than on the stage. But everyone's different, and it's great. So what kind of got you into the Lincoln Company? How did you find out about that? Where did it all begin?
So I was in my first year, which was back in 2019, and we had sort of like introduction sessions, and the first co-producer of the company, Laura Thompson, came into my lesson essentially and pitched it, and I didn't really know what it was, because I was like, as coming out of school and out of college, usually these sort of things and schemes that you had to pay for. So I was originally like, oh yeah, I won't get into that because it'll be like really expensive. Yeah. I won't be able to afford it. But then I started chatting with some second years at the time who were part of the Lincoln Company, and they were like, no, you don't have to pay for it. It's like you literally just apply for it through an application process, and then they score it, and then you can either be part of the company or not part of the company, but you can try again the year after. So then I was like, this was on the day of the application submissions as well. So I obviously kept out very prepared. So I did like this really long application form, put my heart and soul into it, and then got some of the second years to look over it and was like, okay, I'm sending it off. And then I got accepted, and then I've been involved with it ever since.
Yeah, the Lincoln Company was actually one of the main reasons I wanted to come to Lincoln University, because, as I said, I wanted to still want to go into the theatre industry, and I heard about this, an actual professional theatre company that is supervised by practising lecturers and artists here, where it's surrounded by people like you that also want to, are ambitious and engaging and want to get industry experience. And it was exactly, I was shocked that this was a thing. So I just went straight for it.
Yeah, because on one of the podcasts that the Lincoln Company do, Arts Pod, you speak to Rachel, who's a co-producer of it, and she makes a point in that of saying she wanted to be a co-producer rather than and it being student-led and things like that. So it's good to give the opportunity to the students on that as well, but also have that experience of that Rachel inevitably brings with her.
Yeah, absolutely. Because our committee members, like I, our co-producer Will, and our marketing team, we're all still currently studying at the university, but it's all under the guidance and supervision of Rachel Bainton and Danny Ridley.
Rydell,
that's it. So we're always supported, and they're always there to give their industry knowledge and help and benefit. I've definitely, it's so nice to have them around and be able to support us.
So we'll come back to the Lincoln Company and the podcast a bit later. The guest I've got on later, Toby from Zest Theatre, I threw this question to him. So I think it's only fair that I ask you guys it. So you have experience as drama students. You get the chance to perform at the Lincoln Arts Centre. You know, when I think the biggest one when I was a student was Shakespeare. I'm not sure if you still do that.
We do, but we do have our own shows now. So we have final degree shows.
The etiquette in theatre can sometimes be quite ruckus, and we've seen recently in the theatre, people getting up and singing along to shows. What is your opinion on this? Should it happen? Should it not?
Do you want to go first?
I can do.
Yeah.
I'll have to speak as a student, from a student perspective, and one that is studying drama and theatre. I think there are certain places where you can do that. Pantomimes, sing-along musicals, they're specifically for those type of things. But for me, wanting to train as an actor, to be a performer and have all that effort and work put in, and for then it to be overtaken, or for other people in the audience that might want to be respectful and follow it, that then that gets interrupted, because it's not only affecting the actors, but it is also affecting the other audience members that maybe don't want to do that sing-along type of stuff.
Yeah, I think it really is dependent on the type of show that you are performing in or being a part of. Like Henry said, pantomimes, they tend to have sing-alongs and audience participation quite often. And I think that's known within the audience. Like, you know what you're getting yourself in for when you go. Musicals as well. I think if there's like a encore act at the end, I think you can sing along. But it really does depend on how that show is marketed. And I think we learn as students as well is that you put audience participation as part of your shows, and it's clear to an audience that participation is there. Whereas I think at the show that you were talking about, I think it was straight theatre, so I think there is less of an inkling to sing along, and it's less of a thing that should have been there. So I can see people's frustrations. I think if it's marketed and it's targeted at audience participation, then that's fine.
And with the head of an audience member on, if you'd paid 100 quid a ticket to see a West End show, you wouldn't want to listen to Sandra in the audience singing along.
Yeah.
You want to listen to the cast.
You've paid for all an experience.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And if it wasn't marketed as that, then it shouldn't really been like that, really.
Yeah. So we're going to have a bit of music now, which we're going to have the choice that Amy made. Tell the audience which song you've picked and why.
So I picked the musical song Don't Rain on My Parade by the brilliant Barbra Streisand, I'm hoping, because it's a strong, independent woman song, and I think I strive to be that.
From the musical Funny Girls, of course.
Yes, of course.
So that was Don't Rain on My Parade from Funny Girls by Barbra Streisand. We've kind of delved into your arts background, what got you into the arts. Let's talk more about the Lincoln Company now, and particularly the arts pod that mm-hmm. you do. It's a podcast. Yeah. Whose idea was it to start this up?
So this came into a meeting last year when I was co-producer, actually. And Danny, our staff representative, kind of brought it. He was kind of new to the company being brought in, which was amazing because he's done so much for the company. Mm. And he kind of put forward that he wanted to delve in and start an arts pod or just a podcast in general at the time. And it was something that he wanted as part of the company to experiment in, and that it would be primarily student-led and facilitated by Danny, because Danny had all the tech experience and he had experience in doing podcasts before. And then so he put a feeler out to the company for different roles. There was an on-air host position. I think there was two positions of that. There was two producer positions and there was two technician positions, so that because we were studying, if one person couldn't do it, then the other person might be able to do it. And then if both of us couldn't do it because of our studies, then Danny would step in, which is what has happened in recent days. I applied for an on-air position. I've been part of it for a whole year now.
How was it adapting to that as drama students? You know, you're used to being on a stage in front of people, but podcasts are kind of one-on-one things. How was that a different experience?
It was. I'd had a little bit of radio experience, so I've had on-air mic experience before, which I put in my application. But it really is different. You have to really focus on what your voice is doing and the type of emphasis that you want on words, which you do as a drama student, but you also have your face to kind of put towards the voice as well. You have to be really careful with how you articulate things. Your wording of things is specific as well, because if your face isn't there and your hand gestures aren't there, people can take things the wrong way. It's completely different.
And the majority of time, when you're on a stage, you're playing a character.
Yeah.
So you've got to be yourself. Absolutely. In a podcast. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a scary thing. you have to kind of be aware of how much you're saying. And I'm quite of a talker.
Yeah.
Sometimes I have to refrain and remember it's an interview.
And Henry, what's your involvement within the podcast? How did you get involved with it?
As Amy said, when those roles were produced out, it was my job as general manager to offer that up to company members and say, and encourage them, support them, and say, take it, go for it. Although, as general manager, I think the podcast is its own little
segment.
It's its own little segment. It's within the Lincoln Company, so I don't have to oversee it too much.
But you're kind of there to help if we have like questions regarding
Absolutely.
How we get this out as a company.
Yeah, exactly.
And the podcast isn't just, I mean, we mentioned you had Rachel as a guest on it. That is an academic here at the university. It's outside as well. You had Sarah Jane Honeywell who is fantastic. You've had lots of different... How do you go about kind of sourcing your guests and what do you look for in one?
So we're interested in having guests on from all sectors of the arts. Primarily, we start at the university because as academics, they are practising. And so they have their own art sectors and they have their own experience. But they also have experience in art sectors that we don't see. And I think that's important to get that out to students because it's great. In terms of sourcing outside, we So I personally knew Sarah Jane. I've worked with her before. I've volunteered at her theatre school before. So I was quite good friends with her. So I sort of asked her, would you come on it and talk about your theatre school, your experience in children's TV? And she was really up for it. But we try and get to different arts events. Or if there are workshops on that happen at the university that have outside guests, we'll try and show our faces to company and kind of just have a conversation with them and say, oh, well, I really love what you do with this. Would you be interested in coming on our podcast and letting our listeners know about this? Because it's really interesting. So it really is about networking and about getting the podcast known and just communicating that with an audience.
And it's a good way for you as students to build contacts as well.
Yes, it really is.
That's very true.
So Valerie, who is now a Lincoln Company alumni, but is still part of the company because you can be part of the Lincoln Company for 2 years after you graduate. She actually got her job at Sarah Jane Honeywell's theatre school through the podcast because Sarah Jane was after a musical director and Valerie had experience in that. So, yeah, that went forward and she now works with Sarah Jane.
All valuable experience. And as students, how much time does the Lincoln Company take up? For anyone that might be thinking about getting involved but think, actually, this might take a lot of my time, particularly, you know, if they're third years that are delving on their dissertation, etc.
It really depends. As a committee member and as well as general manager, it can take up a fair amount of time, yet as we find during May, it gets very, very rough with exam seasons, and as students we always try to put our studies first. I don't think it's too challenging as a normal member. It's like any other commitment, but it's also like any other professional company. If you have to show commitment and reliance in order for a company to run. For committee members, it can be a little bit more intense, but I find it still really, really enjoyable. It gives a lot of purpose and, again, experience for me that I just thoroughly, you know, enjoy, that I really get what I put in, I get out. So I love every minute that I put into it. So
yeah, like Henry said, it's like we are kind of encouraged to put our studies first, because that is why we're here. We're students, we're here to study. Rachel and Danny are very much like, if you can't do this, do not say yes to it, because you need to put your studies first. And so they've always been really understanding with that. But it is about communication. If you can't do something within the company, you just communicate that, and they're very understanding about it.
Yeah.
It can take up a lot of your time, but it is a company where as you put in what you get, you're not going to be harassed to do a lot of the stuff. It's put out as feelers, and if people are interested, they can get involved. They can state their level of commitment within a project, and it is all about communication. I mean, obviously, if you're getting involved with something like this, we do, like, you, it is preferred that you do have a level of commitment that's up there, but you can even step back for like a year. It is, because you roll on as you go through your year. So if you started in first year like I did, I was a member of the company for the rest of my pretty much university education, and I will be up until 2 years after graduation. And so you could, like, for example, in your third year, if you've been a member, you can say, okay, I'm going to be taking a step back this year to focus on my studies because it's my last year, but if I'm doing a master's, I'll come back and do a little bit more. So it is really flexible, but it does take a lot of commitment.
So there's it's a monthly podcast, isn't it? Once a month it gets released, and it's on Spotify?
Yes.
Is it other places as well? Or?
It originally started on Podbean, and then we got the rights to put it on Spotify and most streaming platforms. And so it is on there, and it is, as far as I'm aware, a monthly podcast. We do actually have an episode coming out tomorrow. With the wonderful Sue Healy, and she's just had a book released. And sorry, I'm just getting the details up. So we have a episode releasing tomorrow on the 12th of May, which features an interview with author Dr. Sue Healy. And it is going to be called the Literary Manager's Toolkit. So I'm very much going to be tuning into that because it's Danny who is interviewing with Sue, because I'm very much interested in that sector as a creative writing student. But yeah, so we recorded some episodes last summer. And they all went out once they'd been edited because it was a long process because we all got so busy at the start of the year. And so they got released as sort of like a big haul at the beginning of the podcast. And now we've actually, I think, had two released this month, one with Dr. Chris Dowes and now one with Sue Healy. And yeah, so we're always looking for people who are interested in coming and talking about their practice or if they're a part of an arts group or part of an exhibition that they've been to, sort of, or if they've gotten part of a sector within their studies. We are always looking to have guests on there, and we can try and fit you in a slot. We tend to do stuff over the summer when we have more availability, but if you want to get involved in it, you can get in touch with us at our email, which is all lowercase the Linking Company at lincoln.ac.uk. Or you can find us on social media as well.
And all they have to do on the streaming platform is search ArtsPod and it comes up. Yep. And you mentioned as well, Henry, that this was just kind of one strand of what Lincoln Company do. What else can we expect to see from the Lincoln Company going forward?
Well, we also have our new performance, Recruit, which is a one-to-one performance, part audio, part interactive, that is going to debut on the 2nd of June.
As part of Launchfest.
Yep. It's a very tongue-in-cheek recruitment process that you've been initiated into for an unspecified organisation. All about bureaucracy and the tediousness and how quickly you can go down in a rabbit hole. Within the age of the internet, it's a very, very fun performance. That's another love project of ours.
Yeah, and we've been working with that in association with Ollie Smith from Lapel's Factory, who's also a lecturer here at the university as well.
What else we do? And then there's also for our own committee members and our own company members, we like to put on our own workshops, whether it's by the committee or by company members themselves. We always try to workshop and get stuff on their feet. Dance workshops for our company members, creative writing workshops, skilling up committee members and company members. We try to give as much support and industry experience as possible that can help them further their careers.
Yeah, if company members have like a skill that they don't get to do on their course, it's sort of invited that you can run a workshop on it. So, for example, if someone has a skill in puppetry, they could run a puppetry workshop, and it can go on their CV that they've run and held and facilitated a puppetry workshop. So it looks really good for students. Mm.
So just finally, we'll be popping this on our podcast page on our website after it's gone out. So for anyone that's joining in September that's going to be a drama student, how would they go about joining the Lincoln Company?
Okay, so it's an application process.
Yeah.
And it usually goes out via Blackboard or via email from Rachel, or it might be Danny this year, depending. And essentially, it will literally have a little bit of information about the company, and it'll have a little link to an application form, usually, and it will essentially have a few questions. You've given a word max. You don't have to answer them in that much detail, but it's sort of, you kind of put to it as if you're applying for a company in general. You submit your application. It gets scored by the committee, so it'll be the committee
issue.
That'll be me. And then you will receive an email saying whether or not you have been accepted or rejected into the company. But if you are unsuccessful, it is sort of like you can get more experience through your first year and then apply on your second year as well. Once you're rejected, you're not rejected for life. Like, you can apply the year after.
And I imagine any new students that are coming in September will be able to find out more information. Is there the Fresh Arts Fair? Is that still a thing like it was when I was a student?
We are in the process, I know our marketing. We have three marketing officers this year, so it's going to be big this year.
Yeah, we'll definitely. I'm sure there'll be some of us at the Freshers Week announcing how to get on. As Amy said, there's usually an email that goes out from the Linker Company during the September. But that does go, even though it's typically aimed towards drama students or creative arts students, it is open to the whole school, anyone with a theatre interest.
If you have interest,
And ambitious, we're happy to have you.
And it's not just theatre either. We have students in music, we have students in creative writing for the first time this year. We have students from fine arts. We have technical theatre and student technical theatre and stage management students. Wow, that's a tongue twister, which is amazing because if you're someone like me who's not very tech heavy, it really does help.
And Darren really knows his stuff.
And Darren does know his stuff. Yeah. To be fair, the entire tech team know their stuff at that course and the venue.
Hands.
You really couldn't.
Quite incredible.
The amount of emails I have to send to tech being like, how do I do this? And they reply and I'm like, thank goodness you're here.
Wonderful. Thank you very much for your time. I'm not going to keep you any longer because you're students with busy lives.
Yes, of course. essays to write.
enjoy writing the essays and thank you for coming.
Thank you.